Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app, which you could download anywhere you get your favorite apps, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store, depending on which type of phone you have or device you use. Once you download that Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, you look for WILK News Radio. Follow us, and that's it. That's all you have to do. Works seamlessly with your CarPlay if you're driving around. Don't have to worry about that AM-FM signal. Comes in that digital signal, just crisp and clear and fine. And the audio is truly so much better. So if you have the Odyssey app and you've never listened through your CarPlay, go ahead, listen through your CarPlay. It sounds great through your car speakers. We're also anywhere you get your favorite podcast, just search for The Rob O'Donnell Show. And on those smart speakers, just ask those little suckers to play WILK News Radio, and it'll play us live wherever you are. Freeze up your device. It's always good to have. How's everyone doing on this Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026, 35 degrees. It's just coming up 3:10 here in the studio. It was kind of messy this morning. It took me a little longer than expected to crust out my vehicle. It was encased in ice up by me. It was still about 31 degrees when I left to come to the studio today. And there was a good layer, about a quarter inch of ice encasing the car. It did not want to open up. Finally got the door open, was able to run it. And it took some time, you know. Probably three times my normal warm-up time to get it de-iced and able to come in. Driveway was a little slick, not too much. You know, took it slow, and that's it. But once I got on the highway, especially down into the valley, started creeping up to 33, 34 degrees. But again, kept it slow. Some ice flying off some trucks and flying off cars. Hit my windshield. Didn't do any damage, though, but it gave me a good scare. But other than that, it's 35 degrees now. It's supposed to continue to warm up a little bit until this evening, of course. But the next couple of days actually looks pretty good. And the long-term forecast looked very good. We'll get into that later in the show. Still a lot of developments from around the Middle East. There's more alerts for all of our embassies in the area, evacuations. There's worldwide travel advisories for American citizens everywhere. But, you know, I still continue to hear the discussion on why here, why now? After 47 years of Iran yelling death to America, death to Israel, death to anyone that doesn't agree with them, why here, why now? And, you know, Iran hasn't been a threat to us. A lot of us going about our daily lives look at it and say, well, Iran or Iranians never threatened me. It's just not the case. Maybe personally, but as far as America as an entity, they very much have been. And if you have any loved ones that are serving in our military, you know this very well. So I did a little digging just for the past 5 years. I didn't even go past that. I'm not going back 47 years, first of all. So I just went into 5 years to kind of highlight exactly what's going on and what has been going on in a daily basis. For me, this is very real because on a daily basis, Iran was trying to kill my children. It's as simple as that. And thousands of other American service members. So I figured, since we don't see this on TV every day, since it doesn't make headlines on our local paper, since you're not going to see it on our local news stations here, to give you a little grasp of what Iran is doing and what they have been doing. To where when there's opportunity like there is, and they are continuing to increase their military capability, as someone who again, has some very real things at stake here and doesn't want war, I understand it. And we're ready for it. That's just the way it is when you sign that dotted line. But I'm going to go back just 5 years now. Iranian proxies, including militias in Iraq, Syria, as well as the Houthis in Yemen, have fired an estimated 600 to 700 missiles and drones at U.S. assets over the past 5 years alone. The majority's incidents occurred after October 2023, amid escalating regional tensions. And this is what the key data does include. From October 2023 to June 2025, Iranian-backed militias in Iraq, Syria, and Jordan conducted over 200 attacks on U.S. bases involving approximately 370 rockets, missiles, and drones. Prior to October 2023, from early 2021 onward, there were roughly 80 to 100 attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq and Syria, likely involving 150 to 200 projectile-based or typical attack patterns, small salvos of rockets or drones. In June of 2025, militias launched about a dozen drones at U.S. bases in Iraq and Syria. From late 2023 through mid-2025, the Houthis targeted U.S. warships in the Red Sea and nearby waters. Around 20 to 30 documented incidents firing an estimated 200 missiles and drones, often in salvos of 5 to 20 per attack. Additional attacks occurred in early 2026, including militia strikes on U.S. bases in Iraq amid broader regional conflict, adding a few dozen more projectiles. And by projectiles, I mean anti-ship ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, and drones, one-way attack drones. Being fired at our ships that carry 375 sailors and Marines, our ships that carry 4,000 or 5,000 sailors, Marines, and aircrew on a daily basis. These are very real threats caused by Iran. These were very real threats funded by Iran with equipment built by Iran. So when we hear Iran is not a threat to us and haven't attacked us, that's just a load of crap. And I just went back 5 years. They have very much attacked us. They have very much attacked our assets. They have very much started this war a long time ago. It's up to the Iranian people to decide their future. But the Iranian people, just a few weeks ago, rose up and tens of thousands of them were murdered, hunted down and executed, piled in the streets. Some say, well, it's bad timing. As a matter of fact, I heard Democrat members of Congress last night saying it's bad timing. Maybe we should have did it then. Okay. That's a conversation I can have. But even now, those same people are there. Even now, those entities exist. They just do not have the assets on the ground to overthrow their government or what's left of their government. Now, it appears that we are and continuing to take out those military assets. We're going to get into the Straits of Hormuz and the military and the increase in oil prices. We're going to get into that later in the show, very much into detail. Don't think I'm forgetting about that. Because when people say that, well, why were we even there? Why were we even giving them a target to fire at? Well, if you look at all the entities I just named, Iraq, Syria, Jordan, the Red Sea, 30% of the world's goods come through the Red Sea. 30% of the world's goods come through the Red Sea. They were attacking shipping lanes. They were increasing the price of goods worldwide and increasing the transit time by 79 days. That's why we were there, for the freedom of navigation. And while we were there, because they knew we would be there, they were using targets of opportunity, and they were getting closer and closer. The difference is, under the last administration, they were doing that, and we were doing nothing. Until this administration, and then we started shooting back. We started blowing up the Houthi rebels. We started taking out their assets. We started removing those threats. Now they still exist. It's childish to say we're going to get everyone. But if you look at what's going on and the infrastructure that's being taken out, the majority of Iran's navy is gone. The threats to the Straits of Hormuz, where insurance companies at this point are saying, we're not even going to cover ships going through there, so they're all at anchor. We're not going through if we're not insured until we can ensure there's safe passage, and then they will start again. The leadership has been decimated in Iran. So what the next step is up to the people. Now, there are alternatives, which I'm not even going to begin to get into. You know, I posted there is the son of the Shah of Iran that has been living in the United States since 79, late 70s, 79, I believe. The Shah's wife, the former queen of Iran, is living in the United States. Their granddaughter, the princess of Iran, is here. There are viable candidates, but that sets up a secular conflict and civil war. But the former prince of Iran said himself that he just wants to go there and help facilitate. He doesn't want to take charge of the country. He wants to help facilitate a Democrat process. What that Democrat process is and what it looks out like, especially with the secular Shia versus Sunni and everything else that's there, that's for them to decide. You do not wait till your enemy can severely injure you. You cannot wait till someone who's saying death to you, and again, just in the past 5 years, have fired thousands of missiles at you and your assets, while we sit back here in the comforts of our home and say, well, they've never attacked us. I don't feel threatened by them. I just gave you a small list, just going back 5 years of what they've done. Just going over the past year alone, hundreds of missiles, 5 to 20 at a time, to take out ships that carry 4,000 or 5,000 of our sons and daughters, our husbands, our wives, our fathers, our mothers, Americans, all. So it's easy to look the other way when it's politically convenient and say, well, I just don't like who's in charge now. I've posted videos online of Hillary Clinton in 2008 when she was running against the primary against Barack Obama, where she said that if she was president, she is going to blow up Iran. Her words.
I'm the president. We will attack Iran. Whatever stage of development they might be in their nuclear weapons program in the next 10 years, during which they might foolishly consider launching an attack on Israel, we would be able to totally obliterate them. That's a terrible thing to say, but those people who run Iran need to understand that, because that perhaps will deter them from doing something that would be reckless, foolish, and tragic.
2008, if I'm president, I would attack Iran. There you go. This is nothing new. This is not this administration. It's the way it's been for a while. And I understand, because of politics, which has had its slant on everything, everyone's thinking on a curve. Well, hopefully that curve changes for the better, for the world and the Middle East. It's 322 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Got a bunch of text messages coming in. Higher elevations and the untreated roads, like the mountain roads around Mahoopany, are an ice rink. So be careful up there. It was icy up by me. It did get, as the temperature got warmer when I got down into the valley, it did get better. But the roads are icy, so please be careful if you're driving around today. Somebody said, Rob, tell your wife you want a remote start for your car, a birthday gift. I have my little commuter car now. I was never a fan of remote starters, but they do come in handy in times like this. CB Bob said, thank you for those who are serving and involved, and they are serving and involved. So thank you, CB Bob, for your service. Joe from Trips Park, Rob, you're so far ahead of most of the media reporting on Iran and other issues. Just want to thank you for the hard work that keeps us properly informed and the proof to back it up. Everything I just mentioned, that list of the past 5 years, is on my Facebook page. You could check it out there if you're looking to dive a little more into it, but it's pretty much just what I told you. And that's why you should follow me on Facebook, because I did post that a little while ago. So that information's out there. We said, not to mention our country is divided. Thank God for saying it. No, our country is divided. And again, I've said this for over a year now, when China was the biggest threat and still is to an extent. But, you know, the geopolitical big picture of this is with Venezuela and Iran now occupied or preoccupied. I should say preoccupied because it's not occupied. We have not taken over Venezuela. We're not taking over Iran. But the fact that they are no longer in the hands that they were, that is where 70% of China gets its fuel from. And the majority of its Navy runs on that fuel. The majority of its Air Force runs on that fuel. Without firing a shot, we have pretty much taken away the capability of China to invade Taiwan, which is pretty much a guarantee if you look and listen to any military analyst in the next 2 to 4 years. They can no longer do that. They do not have the capability to do that. The only nuclear-powered crafts that they have are their submarines, which are no use when it comes to a ground invasion or an island invasion of Taiwan. So one of the reasons that China is threatening Iran, one of its allies, to not harm the Straits of Hormuz is because the majority of its goods come through there, and the majority of its goods go through there. So when you look at the big geopolitical picture here, this is a win on multiple levels. Again, without firing a shot, without getting into a conflict with Iran, and Trump is meeting with Xi, I believe, in the next week or two.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Said I just think our military intelligence knew something that we didn't, and it's being the biggest military in the world. I think it's our duty to make sure every one of our under our wing is safe. Listen, there is no doubt that Iran was enriching uranium past the point of power, past the point of domestic power sources. That's not a question. They were given in their negotiation, in the deal, you can keep your power reactors that are nuclear powered, but your uranium will be enriched and provided by a third party nation. And they turned that down. You have to ask yourself why. Because if you look at once you enrich your uranium up to 60%, it does not take much more effort to enrich it further. You do not need 60% uranium enrichment for power, domestic power. So these signs are there. You know, is there a smoking gun of weapons of mass destruction? No, there is no smoking gun. They told us they have this. For decades, the negotiation has been their nuclear enrichment programs and ballistic missile programs, both of which they were accelerating. And the mere fact that if they were a week away from a nuclear weapon, 10 weeks away from a nuclear weapon, 10 years away from a nuclear weapon. They have said what they wanted to do with it when they get one. Over the past 5 years, they have shot at us thousands of times to kill Americans, our men and women in uniform. I laid it out for you. It's not a secret. Just because you don't see it on evening news doesn't mean it wasn't happening. And right now, all Arab nations are being attacked by their neighbor, Iran. Not unlike, you know, Iraq did very similar things when they took over Kuwait. They were attacking Saudi Arabia. So it's not a new event there. It's not a new dynamic. But as far as forever wars, I'd be surprised if this thing lasts past 3 weeks. Somebody said, did you post that Hillary clip? I did indeed, and it really triggered the Trump derangement syndrome people. So Somebody said, you made sense, made me feel better. I have a family member in the Army in Kuwait right now, and I'm worried. When I hear people say it wasn't necessary, I feel sad and conflicted. Thank you for your thoughts on this conflict. Mountaintop listener. Well, God bless your family member serving right now. Listen, we've already had 6 casualties. We've had 18 seriously injured. War is not pretty. War is not an event of first choice. But the entire purpose of war is to force your enemy to do something they don't want to do. We're in the process of that. And for the first time, we're not being restrained by that. Since World War II, the wars we have fought have been of restraint, which have gotten Americans killed by the thousands, have gotten Americans maimed by the thousands. It's about time that we fight this by overwhelming force. Send a message to the world and open it up for the people of Iran to take back their nation. And hopefully go in a better direction. Hopefully. And if they choose not to, our job is done. And they shall become what they shall become. You know, we're going to talk about at the 4 o'clock hour the price of gas going up, because that's the political talking point as well. It's also a fact, but there are very different dynamics from today than the 70s when this happened the last time. And I'm going to explain them and list them out detail by detail. How those people saying, well, how is fighting this war in America? First of all, this isn't a war. We are conducting military strikes. We haven't declared war since World War II. No president has. And it's a very different dynamic now. When people say America first, when you look at how this temporary spike in oil prices benefits the American dollar in the big picture again, it's going to make costs go up. Go to a gas station today. You will see they are higher than they were a few days ago. And they will be. And then they'll come back down very quickly. Just like the stock market went down. And it's already starting to recover. Not fully, but it will. But at the 4 o'clock hour, I'm going to get into the details specifically about the oil and how the U.S. dollar is actually benefiting and will benefit, because the bigger picture is what we need to look at. So it's 3:33 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 3:40. And just for those in the cheap seats in the back, let me see here.
Audience to know that if I'm the president, we will attack Iran. Whatever stage of development they might be in their nuclear weapons program in the next 10 years, during which they might foolishly consider launching an attack on Israel, we would be able to totally obliterate them. That's a terrible thing to say, but those people who run Iran need to understand that, because that perhaps will deter them from doing something that would be reckless, foolish, and tragic.
Hillary Clinton, 2008, during the Democrat primary. I want the Iranians to know that if I am president, we will attack Iran, she said, just before an interview on the primary against Barack Obama, who ended up winning the presidency. I got some text messages in. You can call or text 570-883-0098. Thank you for your analysis and why it's very worthwhile and needed. Joint military operation, the future of the world will be better place without this regime and their weapons. On the dollar, bingo. China was buying discount oil from Iran and Venezuela with the yen, trying to replace the dollar as the world's reserve currency. Game over in a long term. Trump is strangling both Russia and China with one major political party in this country can't stand it. That's exactly what we're going to get into at the 4 o'clock hour. That exactly what you said, that yes, Russia and China was strong arming Iran and Venezuela to make the yen the world currency when it came to trade. They were making them buy their weapons and sell their weapons in their currency, beefing it up. And now that's not the case. So again, we'll get into that in just a little bit. I appreciate the text messages. Well, Operation Epic Fury, the first 72 hours, as per the U.S. Central Command CENTCOM, types of targets that have been hit by the U.S. Command and Control Centers, IRGC Joint Headquarters, IRGC Aerospace Forces Headquarters, which creates their ballistic missiles, by the way, Integrated Air Defense System, ballistic missile sites, Iranian Navy ships, Iranian Navy submarines, anti-ship missile sites, military communication capabilities. The U.S. assets have employed B-1 bombers, B-2 stealth bombers, B-52 bombers, Lucas drones, that's the low-cost aerial surveillance systems that I talked about yesterday, Patriot intercepted missile systems, THAAD anti-ballistic missile systems, the F-15 fighter jets, F-16 fighter jets, F-18 fighter jets, F-22 stealth fighters, F-35 stealth fighters, A-10 attack jets, EA-18 electronic attack aircraft, those are the Growlers, airborne early warning and control aircraft, airborne communications relay, P-8 maritime patrol aircraft, RC-135 reconnaissance aircraft, the MQ-9 Reapers, M-142 high mobility artillery rocket systems, nuclear-powered aircraft carriers, guided missile destroyers, counter-drone systems, refueling tanker aircraft, refueling ships, C-17 Global Master cargo aircraft, C-130 cargo aircraft, and special capabilities we cannot list here. That's coming directly from CENTCOM. So those are the assets that have been deployed. All 11 major ships in the Iranian Navy have been sunk or at the bottom of the Gulf of Oman. Why this is important, because the Gulf of Oman is right in between. It's right after the Straits of Hormuz, right after the Gulf of Arabia and the Arabian Sea. So it's opens up that entire region, because any asset that they could have had to deploy mines, to do anything as far as shipping, is now gone. Now, Iran does have diesel-powered submarines. Now, one of the things that I have not seen, and it's just I have not seen it in any of the reporting, is we have our nuclear-powered submarines, attack submarines, and ballistic missile submarines in the area of operation. Their primary job, because in the past strikes, they have risen to release their Tomahawk missiles, because they can release Tomahawk missiles, non-nuclear-tipped Tomahawk missiles. They have not done that. And my personal assessment, speaking with former retired submarine warfare officers, is those submarines, those attack, specifically Virginia-class attack submarines, are hunting down the diesel submarines, which are easy targets. I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if we start hearing reports that the Iranian submarines no longer exist. Are they a threat? They are a threat to commercial traffic. They are a threat to maritime traffic. Because they are diesel-powered submarines, they are truly not a threat to our systems, because they are so easily detected, which is why I believe that our submarines are P-8 maritime patrol aircraft, which are also anti-submarine aircraft, and we do have CH-53s who specialize in anti-submarine warfare, are probably doing their part, and we just have not heard that yet. Because it's our silent service, right? Our submarine force. But if we start getting reports of submarine kills by our submarines, you could chalk that one up on the chalkboard, baby. Yes, it is. 3:45 here at WILK. Let me tell you about my friends over at Monk Heating and Air Conditioning. Listen, I had three criterias when I wanted to get one of those split air ductless systems. I wanted a local company, I wanted a family-run company, and I want a company that used top-of-the-line equipment, and they checked all those boxes with flying colors. The Mitsubishi electric heat pump system, that is the gold standard for these types of systems, and they are Mitsubishi Diamond Elite contractors. So I know, and you could be confident, that that system is going to be installed right to the specifications. They came out, they had my system installed in under 5 hours, two indoor units, an outdoor unit, and it's been working like a champ ever since. Their family values. Listen, their family names on everything they do. Monk Heating and Air Conditioning. So if you're dealing with Jim, Rob, Taylor, Lauren, they are the Monk family. Their name is on everything they do. They want you to be satisfied. So you do not have to worry about that. 365-day, 24/7 service. Cool Club maintenance plans. Another big one. And water heaters same day, just in case you get an emergency. So check them out at monkhvac.com. That's monkhvac.com, and see how they can help your heating and air conditioning needs. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. It's coming up on almost 3:50 here. Time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. There are rockets right now coming into Tel Aviv, and the Patriot systems have been deployed as we speak. Trey Yingst is live at Tel Aviv, and the Patriot systems are shooting their anti-missile systems. It looks like several of those have gone off, so there are, again, incoming missiles. We're going to talk about those missiles and drones when we come back from the Bloomberg Money Minute, but it's coming up on 3:50 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 3:54, 35 degrees. Be careful. There are areas that are extremely icy outside, so if you're driving around, if you don't have to be driving around, it's probably for the best today. So I did get a bunch of text messages in. Just say, Rob, I just want to know at this point, why don't we know where all the Iranian missile batteries are and haven't already taken them out? Because they're so mobile. These one-way attack drones that they utilize are probably the size of your porch or backyard table. They're not very big. They're probably 6 feet by 5 feet. They're very light. They can be carried by a single individual. They are launched through several means. They are launched from the back of pickup trucks. So that's how mobile they are. The ballistic missile launchers are a bit longer. They're like one of your flatbed tow trucks, or, you know, as big as an 18-wheeler, depending on the size of them. If you look at the videos that have been being shown on the news, we have been taking them out every day. Well, there were hundreds taken out today, but they're very mobile. They take them out of their bunkers. We do locate them. We take them out when we do locate them. The thing is, we do now have total air superiority. So we are searching for them on a regular basis, more so than when we were worried about they did have fighter aircraft. They did have anti-aircraft capabilities, which they no longer – I shouldn't say they no longer have, but they have been severely diminished. Matter of fact, the only three planes that we've had – injured were taken down by our own measures, the Patriot systems in Kuwait, which we did talk about yesterday. Thankfully, all six of those pilots and Wizzos are in stable condition. But they are hard to find. They are that mobile. They take them out of their bunkers. They take them out of caves. And where I'm told our key points are is not so much the stockpiles and the missiles themselves, but the launchers. They may have thousands of these missiles and thousands of these drones, but what they don't have is thousands of these launchers. They only have a few hundred of those launchers, and as we remove them from service, they are much harder to replace. So that is where our key focuses are on. You also have to realize that a lot of these drones from Iran were being purchased by Russia. That's where Iran was getting its money from. They were selling these weapons to places like Russia, who was using them against Ukraine. What we did when we reverse-engineered one of those drones, the one-way attack drones, and we made our own Lucas system, we actually gave a version of that to Ukraine. Ukraine is now manufacturing their own version of those one-way attack drones, the Lucas drones, and they are now currently using them against Russia. So Russia has lost its supply chain for their own drones. The drones that they were using and now being used against them by Ukraine, we are not only taking these systems out, but we are taking the launchers out. And again, these Lucas-type drones, they could be launched from the back of a pickup. They could be launched from a catapult. They could be launched with a rocket. There are many ways to do that. So they are very mobile, and we are taking them out. They also did ask, aren't I a little surprised that more Iranian armed forces haven't been defecting or surrendering to a separate country yet? Quite honestly, because of overwhelming force, they're not being given the opportunity to. You've heard President Trump say, lay down your arms and surrender, but they really don't have anyone to surrender to. Iran is a very isolated country. You actually have to cross very desolate areas to try and surrender to anyone. There, we do not have any forces on the ground. They have made enemies of every one of their neighbors. I mean, if you saw the footage of our own pilots in Kuwait, until they realized they were not Iranian, they were ready to attack them. You have the picture of the gentleman with the lead pipe ready to smash the guy in the head. You have them approaching them to make sure they were not Iranian. Once they realized they were Americans, they gave them help and they gave them aid. Because if these were Iranian pilots, I think it would have been much different. I don't think they would have been able to surrender. They would have been killed. Because, again, they have made enemies of every neighbor that they have. So I don't think there's anyone to surrender to. And I think they're being destroyed at such a level where plus we don't have any ground troops to document any of it. So I think it's just pure lack of facilities to do that to. Now, I think once a government starts to get established in Iran that wants to change the way things are done, things will start to change and things will be very open then as far as, you know, laying down your arms and who's going to be taking control of the military. From what I understand, there is a group of three individuals that are basically making the decisions for the country, but that doesn't include military operations, which is separate. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.